He wanted 2 truckloads of dirt because he's going to take that back home with him, make a special place at his home where he put that dirt at, let the grass grow, and he would have Israelite soil on his own property back in Syria. And on that property is where he would worship God. He would pray. What he did, he took home with him what he got revival. He took it home with him, and in that very spot is where he's reminding himself every day of what God had done for him. And that is a message I preach in a concluding message in a lot of revival meetings, but Lord will not give me liberty to preach that tonight. So take home with you what you've got and enjoy it and walk in it. But be wise about it. Be careful because you're going to face some battles as a result of what you have experienced in recent weeks. You may actually deal a little bit with depression and sadness because of it. And so be aware of that. You're going to go through some spiritual battles as a result of it. And so because the devil's taking this as seriously as you have. And so be aware of that. Be wise in the way you handle yourself because you're going to get set up for temptation and wrongdoing. You're going to get set up for error. And one of the times in my life that I feel the coldest and most indifferent from God is the day after a meeting ends. It's hard to explain that. But the flesh has been wrung out, and you've been feeding the spiritual man so much, and now the flesh now has an opportunity to start setting his kingdom back up again. And so be careful about that. Stay on your knees in prayer. I do ask you to pray for my church. Lord, bless my church that I pastor. God will touch them and help them. While this has been going on here, we've been having battles that we've been having to wage back home. And not against my people or anything like that, but we've had to deal with a potential scandal, and we're trying to take care of it and try to work through it while we've been here preaching meeting. And the Lord's used this time while I'm here to spend my time in prayer for my church. And we've had some tremendous victories just this past week. We've had some tremendous victories. And so I think that my church is going to be fine. I believe God's going to help Lakeland. And I encourage you to pray for my people. God to bless them as well as my family. And God to put his hands on my wife, my children, my grandchildren. And because right now with all the work that we're doing with Bible covers, getting them to our political leaders, we were on the verge of getting a meeting with the president before the election. It looked like things were starting to come together. And then the fiasco that happened, of course, put the kibosh on that. We're trying to work at it through a different route. We had a meeting set up for governor in Florida. We already made his Bible cover, was going to meet with him, and then that got postponed due to COVID outbreak. And then we had a meeting with one of our former presidents that also was delayed due to COVID. So we've had a number of things that was in the works, men that we're supposed to meet with. And this is the first time I've alluded to a couple of them that I've even admitted who we're supposed to see. And so we, when this meeting started, there was a meeting taking place that I was supposed to be in. But when this meeting started, of course, I deferred away and said, I'm going to be in a revival meeting where a Bible is going to be presented to one of our main leaders in the state of North Carolina. And so that fell through. That congressman didn't get to make it, but they're working on plans to be in D.C., and so we may have meetings in D.C. at the first of the year with some of our leaders. I'm bringing these things up to you because the devil, it's one thing for me to give a Bible to a layman in church. It's one thing for me to give a Bible to maybe somebody in town or especially a new convert. Satan does not like anybody getting the Bible. But when you're going into his territory and you're taking Bibles to people that are the most powerful people in the country, he takes note of that. Amen. There have been spiritual battles that I've been through I've never faced in my entire life. I'm talking about battles I've never had to deal with before. I've dealt with things that are eerie and, quite frankly, scary sometimes, and because we're on his territory. We need your prayers. I encourage you to pray for us. And my church understands that. And I rarely ever mention these things publicly, but my church knows of some of the battles we've had to face. And we've had so many things happen, death threats, everything you could possibly imagine we've had to deal with as a result of that. So pray God give us protection and God also give us wisdom because we're going to have it to know how to deal with him. Several situations have come up and Brother Bobby Stewart that I'm working with out of Tennessee, Brother Jason Williams out of North Carolina, is two men we've been working close hand with on some of this stuff. We have tried to be wise in the way we deal with these people and how we get to them. So pray for us. God, give us wisdom. We're in Acts chapter 27. We're getting into the second. I think they're about getting ready to start, so we got to hurry up and get out of here for the second inning and get started. And we're in Acts chapter 27. I ain't coming back tomorrow night. You ain't either. So it's Katie barred the door tonight. But let me thank y'all before I go any further. Thank you for the offerings and everything. You people, y'all need to take me on for a dependent. If you file taxes, claim me. I don't mind at all. And I told you one of the reasons why my wife was not upset about me coming back. Y'all keep taking care of me, and I keep buying her stuff. So she's been hoping to meet and go away to Christmas. Praise God. We're going to have a good Christmas. Y'all keep sending me these offerings. But, no, I'm just playing with you. But thank you. Y'all have been very good to us in that way, and I thank you so much for it. And thank you for letting me be involved in the meeting and taking part in it. I enjoyed Share-a-thon. I've always came and preached a week and then be gone when Share-a-thon takes place. The first time I ever got to be around it and watch everybody work in it, man, it was fun watching these young people. And I want to preach something that you deal with in Share-a-thon from time to time. I found it in the Bible. I want you to look in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, if you're able to stand your feet, reverence the word of God, verse number 4. You notice I said, if you're able. At this point, we're having four-week revival hangovers. You're tired. You give out. You don't know what in the world you're operating on right now. You're on spiritual adrenaline. And if you fell out on the floor, it wouldn't be because you got the touch of God, it'd be from exhaustion. But we would claim it's being the touch of God. And we would tell everybody, you got full of God, but we know it's tiredness. Acts chapter 27, verse 4. When we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Snotus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing by it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which was spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain the Phoenix and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euryclodon. My Jesus, I love you and I bless your name. I want to publicly thank you, Lord, for the kindness of you people, the hospitality of you people, every meal, every dime that they gave for the expense of the meeting and the sacrifice offering that they've given to us. I pray, God, you recompense them richly and deeply in return. I thank you, Lord, for how you've answered prayers. God, at the beginning of the meeting, on the first night, if you had told anybody that the Share-a-thon would be doubled, the income will be doubled above what had ever been done before. In spite of the fact there will not be an evening Share-a-thon, there will not be that done. I thank you tonight for all that you have done in these days. I thank you, Lord, for the activity of your people, the zest and the energy that they've shown in the nights we've gathered together. Father, I know there's been nights that they've gotten off work, they've gone home exhausted and tired. They could have easily stayed at the house, sat there and rested and got a meal and listened by live stream, and Lord, we would have even understood it. But God, they loaded themselves up, hadn't even got a shower, hadn't even had supper, come on the house of God anyway. Bless them, I pray, in return. Bless them the days to come, the Sunday services. I pray that you bless the man of God, fill them with the power of God, and may the services on Sunday be tremendous, life-changing services, I pray. Get us ready for the judgment, see, we pray in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm looking tonight. I'm not really going to I thought I pushed that button. I'm sorry. All right, we got to go back and say everything all over again. I want to thank you tonight for all the giving that's been done. You got to remember after service is over with, watch out for depression. Be kind to each other. Don't be critical one of another. And be careful of temptation. All right, that summed it up. In Acts chapter 27, you have a familiar story of a great storm that breaks out in the life of the Apostle Paul. The Bible's describing the trip that Paul would end up making to Rome. I want to look tonight at something very specific. I'm looking tonight at the wind found in Acts chapter 27. There are four different types of them that are made mention in this chapter, and I'm going to look at it this evening. You'll find that these four times of wind is spoken of, the different types of wind that are dealt with, you'll find that they represent the four seasons of the church and what the church may go through. In verse number 13, the Bible said, "And when the soft wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." The Bible said in verse number 13, the south wind blew softly. Because it blew softly, they supposed they'd obtained their purpose and they began to loose from the docks. So, preacher, what is this wind? This is the positive wind. This is the wind that when it blows, it's going in the direction you want to go in. When this wind blows, it means everything's going in the right direction. It's a comfortable breeze. It's filling the sails up and it's propelling the boat forward. You're able to grab the rudder and guide the boat where you want to go. This is the positive winds. This is the wind that we all like, we all enjoy. When everything's going our way in the direction we want to go in, and God's blessing us and being good to us. When the soft winds are blowing like this, the wife acts like she's saved. The kids are making up their bed. The preacher's knocking it out of the park. The choir's singing like a band of angels. People are testifying and there's unity in the house of God. These are days when you get a raise on the job. The doctor says you're in good health. The bills are being paid. Everything's going good. And all you're thinking is, man, Jesus is good. Life is good. I'm enjoying this. You're in the soft winds blowing out of the south. These are positive winds. Thank God for positive winds. I'm glad life's not always negative. So, preacher, are you ever discouraged and depressed? If I was depressed, I felt better. The fact of the matter is life is filled with adversity and problems, and the older you get, the more you're aware of it. So when good times come, you seem to enjoy it a little bit more. Grab it as much as you can because you know it's not going to last forever. Thank God for the positive winds. In the same chapter, if you look at verse number 4, you have the puzzling winds. Verse number 4. When we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, this is a little bit strange. These winds here are similar to the winds in verse 13. These winds are not harsh. They're not blowing stiffly. These winds are not blowing you all over the place. These winds, although they're contrary, they're not destructive. But the problem with these winds is they're going in the wrong direction. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to capsize the ship. But they're going in the wrong direction. Because they're going in the wrong direction, they're puzzling you. You know where your destiny is supposed to be. Here we go, sound like Joel Osteen. You know where your destiny is supposed to be, where you're supposed to end up at. The problem is the wind's not blowing you that direction. So you cannot make the boat go that way. The sails begin to fill with wind. You have to turn the rudder to go in the direction that the wind's going in. These are puzzling winds. The problem is you're going to end up in the same destination, but you're going to go the long way around. You got to go with where the wind's blowing you. You're not going to go from point A to point B. You're going to go from point A to B to C to D to E to F. You're going to go here. You're going to zigzag this way, that way. You're going to go in circles over here. You're going to go that way, all over the place. Now, the wind's not going to capsize you. It's not going to turn you over. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to hurt you. But you just got to go the long way around because you got to go with the way the wind's blowing. I wish in my life that every time there was a point B God got for me,
that I could go in a straight line to right where God wants me to go. But I don't know about you, but I feel like in my life, I'm going round and round all the time. I'm trying to get here, but I'm going over here. I need to get there, but now I'm going back over here. I'm still trying to get there, and the wind's going this way, and I'm still trying to get there, and finally the wind goes this way. I'm almost there, and then I turn at the last second going back this way. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm trying to get here, and God said, you're not ready yet. And you're just puzzled, going around and around. So, Lord, I'm trying to get here. God said, I know that. And God will blow you all over kingdom come, and you can't seem to get there. Leonard Ravenhill said years ago in an old book, he wrote, and he's talking about young men. He said, it takes God 20 years to turn a preacher into a man of God. Wow. I read it years ago. I've been preaching over 30-some years, and I still ain't got there. I feel like I'm going round and round trying to figure out which way's up. I don't know. Hey, look, I don't know the answers. I can't even figure out half the questions. The fact of the matter is, during this whole meeting, I told my wife, I said, I've never been in a meeting that I didn't know when it was going in. I said, there's times I think it's going in and it goes on. There's times I think it's going to go on and it's about to end. I don't know which way's up. I've never had a meeting that I could not tell you ahead of time, at least a few days, when it's about to come to an end. I had no idea. I have no idea. I honestly don't know if it's going in or not. Some of y'all will start popping up and say, I want to go on, and we go on another couple more nights. Don't do it. I'm tired. I'm running out of stuff to preach. That's why I'm hanging around y'all so much after the services, praise God. Seth's inspired several messages. The puzzling wins. You wish God would blow you directly where you need to go, but God just blows you all over kingdom come. And I wish it weren't that way, but it is. These are puzzling winds. Then you have the perilous winds. These are the ones we're most often familiar with. Verse 14. But not long after that, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. This wind was so bad it had a name. Now I'm going to tell you pretty much so that when a storm's coming your way and it is named, you might need to board up the windows. You might need to take note, start getting water together by a generator. If that storm's got a name, you better watch out. This storm was so big, by the time it got done with them, the ship was crashing to the shoreline, and they lost everything. Thank God nobody died. These are perilous winds. These are winds you have no idea where you're going to end up at. You don't know if you're even going to make it. You start throwing stuff overboard that you thought meant that was important. You start throwing things out of your life. So, Lord, I'll clean up. I'll do this. I'll do that. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You've been to the doctor's office. Doctor said, we got something we're concerned about. We need you to come back in a few days. And for days, you're throwing stuff out of the boat and saying, I don't know if I'll make it. I'm getting everything out of my life that's going to hinder me in God and hinder me in prayer. And so you're dealing with perilous winds. You find out they're laying people off on the job. And you're concerned because you don't have seniority and you're concerned about what's going to happen. The economy's going bad on some people. We don't know which way's up. Somebody at the local Dollar General sneezed in your general direction and they were just talking about getting off the plane from China. And you know you got COVID. I don't know why in the world people keep getting stuff from China and you get that bubble wrap. And you're popping bubble wrap. You knucklehead, that had air from China in it. Sneeze one time and all, and they go, oh my Lord, I got COVID. I mean, we're scared to death of everything now. We're dealing with perilous winds. And I'm not mocking it because those people died from that thing, so I'm not making fun. I'm talking about perilous winds that come. But there's another kind of wind that sets in chapter 27. Look at verse number 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, scarce would come over against Snidius. We sailed slowly. Say we're creeping along. Nothing's happening. He said, the wind not suffering us. We sailed under Crete over against Simon and hardly passing it. Say we were going so slow we barely were moving. So what is this? This is passive winds. This is winds that's not really there. These are winds that are not filling up the sails with air. These are winds that the boat is creeping along so slowly, the scenery barely even changes. Can I tell you, I love the soft winds where God's going in the direction we're wanting to go in, like he's done in recent days of revival. Even the winds that sometimes puzzle me, at least I know I'm moving. And at least I know God's going to get me where he wants me to be somewhere down the road. Perilous winds, I don't like them. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I just have to trust God and believe God to get me through. But I'm going to tell you, one of the most testing winds you'll ever face is when the wind ain't blowing. I learned something during Share-a-thon. I learned that people that are out of shape are extremely fast when something happens during Share-a-thon. Now, I've watched Seth. He's as slow as a turtle with arthritis. But there is one thing that'll move that chubby boy right there. Dead air. You let him be in another room and all of a sudden dead air hit the airway, he's gone by you. We got to get it turned on. And it happened several times. I enjoyed the piano player that stuttered. That one moment where you go in the next song, the piano went, sound like Liberace on drugs. Just the CD or something hung up. That was hilarious. But every now and again, there was a hesitation. Somebody's supposed to speak. Somebody's mic weren't on. They're talking, but it's not going out. And you had dead air. What's a nightmare on the radio? Don't have dead air. Don't do that. People's paying good money. Can't have dead air. But if you're on a boat, and they didn't have outboard motors back then. They didn't have that kind of stuff. And apparently they did not have people in the bottom of the boat rowing. The only propulsion you had is wind. And the problem is, if the wind's not blowing, you're not moving. I'm going to preach now on dealing with dead air. Dealing with dead air. I wish tonight I could say that you're going to be in a state of revival all the time. I wish I could say that there's going to be times the wind's going to blow, it's going to go contrary, just kind of trust God in the middle of it. God will get you where he needs you to go. I wish I could say that even though perilous times do come and we get a lot of things destroying the life and you're going to get through it, you'll be fine. God will watch after you. Listen to me carefully. Satan told many of y'all last year, you ain't going to make it. And you are still sitting in the house of God 4 weeks later after revival meeting started. Ain't that amazing? But one thing you got to deal with is dealing with dead air. In the weeks to come, you may start experiencing this where nothing seems to be going on. Things kind of start slowing down. The soft wind has quit blowing. Things have quit happening, and things just start settling down. I'm going to give you four or five things you need to do. Number one, you need poise. You need to show poise when this happens. One of the things that you can do in those times, and some may have been tempted to do it, and that boat quit moving at a decent rate, like they had been used to it. It had been blowing the way they thought it should. Then there's a time it began to blow contrary, but at least they were moving. Now here it starts saying, we barely got by. Said we were going so slow, we couldn't get from point A to point B. We barely got from one place to the other. We sailed slowly many days. We barely got past Snidus and the wind not suffering us. We barely got past Crete. We're having to go over here. I mean, we're dragging so slow. We got cargo. We got a trip to make. A destination to arrive at, a dock we got to get to, and it's dragging along so slow. One of the things you'll be tempted to do is to jump ship. Every church goes through dry spells. Every church goes through them. And I wish it wasn't this way. You got to understand something about the wind. Only God can control it. You can't. And God Almighty can all of a sudden take his hands off Grace Baptist Church and say, all right, now y'all going to have some dead wind for a while. And y'all may experience dead air. Nothing just happened. Come in the church, nothing pop, nothing go on. Choir sing good, preacher preach good, but really not see anything happening. Excitement and zeal begins to die away. I'm going to tell you something. You better get something more than emotions. You got to get something more than just being stirred a little bit. You got to get more than that. You got to get changed from the inside out. God's got to work on you from the inside out. And I believe the majority of people got more than just emotions. I believe that. I believe there's been some people who genuinely changed. But listen to me carefully. You're going to experience dead air. When it happens, when things don't keep popping like they've been popping, it's not time to change churches. It's not time to start looking for somewhere else that's got some excitement and zeal. It's not time to go find out other churches going to have an extended revival meeting and start going and being involved and then decide that's where you're going to stay at. Because every church experiences dead air. Because I promise you this, if they jumped out of that boat and you jumped another boat, that was in dead air too. We need poise. Number two, we need patience. One of the things you may be tempted to do when dead air comes on the boat, the sails are not filling up, the boat's not moving that fast, you may be tempted to drop anchor and say within yourself, it's always going to be this way. I might as well just drop the anchor and just stay right here. Don't do that. Because the reality is, if the wind starts blowing because you dropped anchor, you ain't moving anyway. The fact of the matter is, when you're going through a dry spell and you're going through a spell where there's no air blowing the boat forward and you're not being propelled forward and things start trying to slow down a little bit and things ain't popping and things ain't happening like they've done before, you may just say, well, it's always going to be this way. Let's just drop anchor and stay right here. No, it ain't always going to be this way. You don't have to live that way the rest of your life. Just realize sometimes things kind of slow down a little bit. That's natural. It's going to happen. Just be patient. Don't drop anchor. Got to move again. Number three, we need peace. We need peace. One of the things that you may decide to do if the wind's not blowing is you may decide to roll the sails up. We don't need them sails anymore. The wind's not blowing anyway. Or you may decide to redesign the sails. Let's take the sails off. Let's paint some designs on it and put them back up there again. Or you may add sails. Thinking any three of these things really may help a little bit. Let's roll them up because they're not needed. Or let's redesign them and maybe that'll fill the sails up. Or let's just add more sails. No, nothing is going to move that boat if the wind ain't blowing. It's not the sail's fault. Don't start rolling up what works. Don't start rolling up what works. Don't decide, all right, we don't need to do this no more. Nothing's happening no more. What are you going to do next year in Sheraton if you get half what you got this year? Well, preacher, we need to get more next year. What if you don't? What if peradventure goes the other way? What if next year you don't get nearly as much? What if you don't bankroll past March? You don't roll the sails up and quit. You don't even need to redesign the sails. Let's paint some pretty pictures on, maybe that'll work. That ain't going to fill the sails. And you might even try to add a few sails. I tell you what, let's add a ministry. Let's have a singles again ministry. For those who've been unfortunate in the marriage, they can hook up with other people, been unfortunate in the marriage, we'll start that ministry. Let's have this ministry. Let's start this ministry. You can start all kinds of ministries all you want to. It ain't going to fill a sail. This is what churches do. When things start slowing down, they start reconfiguring what they're doing, thinking that's what the problem is. Or they start adding things, thinking, well, if we start doing this and this and this and offering this, this, and this, then we're going to start moving. No, you got to learn just to trust God. There ain't nothing wrong with the sails. We don't need to stop soul winning. We don't need to stop preaching. We don't need to stop singing. We don't need to stop the choir. We don't need to go to contemporary music. We don't need to start rapping the gospel. We don't need to start dropping our standards. We don't need to start changing so that we can try the fields back up. Ain't nothing wrong with the sails. Amen. We all just go through down times. It just happens. There are some churches, man, they just start changing things. It's always got to be popping and banging, man. We always got to be doing something. I told the preacher today one of my all-time biggest pet peeves, and I've said this in my church before. I've told preachers that I've had come in, missionaries, other preachers that have preached me, and I've told them, I said, if I catch you taking pictures of my people on the altar and putting it on social media, it'll be the last time you ever stand in my pulpit. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. I see people all the time, somebody gets saved, they got to snap a picture, their face is still red, still been crying, we got to get a picture real quick, this convert just got saved. Who are you trying to glorify? Amen. A lot of people won't give God glory, but they want to take credit. Tell you, that altar's a holy place. You don't snap pictures of people on the altar, you leave them alone. They're not doing that to be a scene, and we shouldn't even try to make it a scene for people to look at. We live in a day and time, we're doing everything hoping it's Facebook worthy. And the problem is when you have that mindset, you always got to have things popping and banging. Things always got to be up and everything's got to be going good. And we got to keep this thing up, man. We got to keep it up because we got to show everybody we're on top of this thing. And Man, we're in revival all the time. Quite frankly, Lakeland Baptist Church is not in revival all the time. You know why? Because I'm their pastor. That's enough to keep anybody down. Well, I thought that was kind of funny myself. We need peace. Our preaching, our singing, our witnessing, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to tell you, why in the world do the things that God ordained get blamed when nothing's happening? But then we start doing things that man's ordained, thinking that ought to prop it up. I'm going to tell you, we'll leave it alone. So, Rich, I tell you what, I think the preacher will be more effective. Why don't you go crawl in your prayer room with Egghead, get on your face before God, and don't come out till you know you've got help. Preach, I got somebody lost I've been trying to deal with. I tell you what, if we had a different way of presenting the gospel, if we did this or did that, why don't you go crawl in your prayer spot with Egghead, get on your face before God and pray, and don't come out till you got a touch of God on your life. Preacher, the singing, that just been as good as it was. If we kind of switch that thing over, bring in a percussion group, get that thing popping and banging and boom, we'd probably get the young people in. Why don't you spend a lot more time practicing than go get Egghead, get in your prayer closet and pray for the touch of God? Days gone by, me and you just got there in the woods and pray and not come out till they got with God. So we've taken that aside, put it aside, and now we're trying to program everything. We need peace. You go to Morning Star Baptist Church, that revival broke out years ago, right outside the building in the woods as you're starting to lead up Young Mountain. It's not named after my preacher. It just so happened that's named the mountain. And you can understand the rumors. He said he bought the mountain. He owns the mountain, a bunch of knuckleheads. He don't own that mountain. But anyway, I'm not bitter. I just don't forget stuff. But right at the base of Young Mountain, that's where the prayer rock was at. And men show up an hour ahead of time, service, gather around that prayer rock and pray. There's a prayer rock, another one out there in the woods where men go pray. Morning Star was launched years ago in the spirit of revival, and that's where it all come from. It wasn't because we had great singers, and we do. It wasn't because we had the greatest pastor, we do. It wasn't because all that. It's because people just prayed. The first night, everybody keeps going back to the first night to Perk Venture, just in case. I'm telling you, I preach that message in other meetings. And it just, I preach it here, and it took off. So, preacher, what is it? Somebody prayed. I told my wife, I said it the second week. I told my wife, I said, somebody was praying for this meeting because that thing took off. That thing has dudded more times than once. I've almost put that message in the hanger and not even bring it out again. Yet somebody got hold of the idea of what we're talking about. Just in case. Well, meet just in case. We don't know what's going to happen, but just in case. Maybe God will do something. Just in case. I think I'll pray just in case God will do something. I'm going to preach that again. I felt pretty good. We need peace. We also need pity. Whenever there's dead air on the boat, don't blame the captain and crew. When there's dead air on the boat, don't look at the captain and say, listen, if you was doing something right, if you do this or do that, and then look at the crew, hey, if you fellas knew what y'all was doing, we might be moving right now. You better understand this, only God can control the wind. Not you. A lot of times people will look at the pastor when things maybe not be popping like they used to, and they'll blame him. I'm going to tell you tonight, if my pastor's still preaching the truth, that's the standard you go by. As long as he's preaching that Bible, he's loving God's people, he's trying to be close to God and preach that Bible. Listen, I don't care if every family member I got walks out upset, offended. A lot of times what happens is we get somebody come to church, they come, and the preacher gets up and preaches something rough. We go, oh man, not that. Preach on something else, preacher. Preach John 3:16. Preach John 11:35. Preach Romans 8:28. Don't preach on hell. And so when they walk out lost and upset, we go, well, the preacher, if he'd preach this or that. I'm going to tell you something. People need the truth. Amen. They need to know the truth. Amen. Whether they accept it or not, between them and God. But the messenger's not wrong for preaching truth. A lot of times in this day and time, truth is not as well received. The result of that is you're not seeing as much happen. But don't blame the captain. Don't blame the crew. Well, if the Sunday school teacher's doing this or the singers was doing that, we might see something happen. No, they can't control the wind. All they know how to do is harness it and try to let it guide them. Hallelujah. Number five, we need purpose. One thing you do not know when the wind, you do not do when the wind's not blowing is you don't drop the fishing nets either. Listen carefully, I'm guaranteed to say. Because they did not have outboard motors, as far as I know, they did not have slaves in the bottom of the ship rowing. The propulsion of that ship was the sails and wind and the sails. Because they didn't have any other way to move the boat except by wind, there was another dilemma. If you cannot move the boat by the sails blowing it, and the wind filling up the sails and moving it, then you cannot move fishing nets underneath you. If you drop fishing nets and spread them out to catch fish, but the boat's not moving forward, you're wasting your time dropping nets. Because if the sails are dead, the nets are not going to fill either. In the story where Jesus walked up on the shoreline, looked at Peter and them, he said, "Children, do you have any meat?" The Bible said he said. It did not say he cried. In the temple it said, and he cried. Not with tears, but he screamed. He raised his voice. The word cried in the Greek simply means to call like a crow. His voice hit a high, shrill tone when he preached in the temple and he preached the word of God. But when he walked on the shoreline and he's talking to his disciples and they were pretty good distance out, the Bible said, and he said. He didn't cry out. Now, if you're ever around a body of water and there's any kind of waves or movement, the sound is going to knock your voice down. Being around water will knock your voice down. So for him to walk up to the shoreline and said, "Children, do you have any meat?" The water had to be perfectly still for his voice to carry out to that boat the way it did. They were so far away they didn't recognize who it was. Yet, they could hear his voice. So that means the wind was not blowing. The water was laid down flat. Jesus was able to speak at a regular tone, knowing his voice is going to carry out across the sea because there's no wind. "Children, do you have any meat?" His voice echoed across, and they said, "No." He said, "Cast on the other side, and you'll catch." There's no need to cast nets. The boat can't move. They drop on the other side, and he went, and the boat started to move. Could it be they didn't catch nothing all night because the boat had never moved? There'd been no wind blowing. That's why the nets didn't fill. Could it be there's a whole school of fish all around the boat, but they couldn't catch it because the wind wouldn't move the boat? And the moment they dropped it, just like he said, as he spoke in a monotone level, because his voice carried, no wind was blowing, the water wasn't moving, and he said, "Cast on the other side." They cast just like he said. He blew the wind, and it started to move the boat, and they caught the fish. Can I tell you something? One of the things that we do sometimes, and we should always preach the gospel truth. All during this meeting, I've had a message stuck in my Bible just in case God gave me the green light on, "Sirs, we will see Jesus." It's a simple gospel message about being saved. We should always be prepared to preach the gospel, to evangelize the lost, and to try to win them to Christ. I'm not saying you should not preach the gospel. God, I tell you, there comes a time in a church when they're going through such a dead time, it's not really as much time to worry about gaining souls as it is just about taking care of each other, keeping the captain encouraged, the crew encouraged, and keeping each other encouraged. Preacher, well, I think we should always be burdened for the lost. Certainly we should, and we should always preach the gospel. We shouldn't forsake trying to win people to God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this, is sometimes you're not going to be as effective in your soul winning. And when you're not, don't worry about it. Just take care of the ship. My wife and I have four children. We have three grandchildren now. My daughter and her husband, not long after they got married, they began to have children. God bless them. They could have children. My daughter and her husband have three children. My oldest son, Levi, loves God as much as any young man I know. He's 32 years old. His wife, Rebecca, I think, is 30 or 31. They've been married about 12 years. They've never had children. They want children, and I shouldn't probably share something so private, but they for whatever reason, has been unable to have one to this point. If you have children, thank God you do. And thank God every day you can. Because my son and his wife have tried for years and haven't had a child yet. So my son has never come to me and said, Daddy, Rebecca is not having children, so I'm going to divorce her. I'm going to leave her. I'm going to find a woman that can have children. My son was never trained to be that way. My son was trained when you get married or married you until death do you part. Having children is not a qualification for you to love her. And if she never has children, she's still a glorious bride. The glory of the bride, Jesus coming back for a glorious bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The glory of the bride is her separation to her husband. It's not her children. Jesus is coming back for a separated church. And I tell you, when he comes back, if our church has not had a lot of converts, but we have stayed separated unto him, and we loved him, I think that's what's going to please him. Can I tell you, even when the wind lies down and we're not seeing people saved, don't worry about it. That's God's business. Just take care of the boat. We're going to stand our feet over the building. Preacher, thank you for letting me come all these weeks. Church, I love you with all my heart. And I thank you for being patient. Preacher, you give an invitation.